Here we go. So, how are you, Leanderson?
Hey, Bruce, I'm great. What about you?
I'm doing good. So, we're here on EBS Radio with English Brazil, and we're going to have a session today talking about a program called Simply Economics. And today, we're going to have questions for Leanderson. He's going to be the guru today. He's going to talk about how to buy a car in Brazil. With the financing and everything. So I have lots of questions that I put together to discuss this topic with him, and he said that he's ready to be the man to, talk to everybody what's going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's hear about it.
Okay, so basically, how do you buy a car in Brazil? Is it easy or hard?
Okay, if you have cash, you can buy whatever, wherever. So if you can, you will pay like cash, you can get your car with no problem, no bigger issue.
But is it a lot of bureaucratic processing of documents to get a car here?
Yes, you need like to get the car out of the dealership and need to get your plate. So you go, you get your plate, get the car transferred to your name. There's a couple documents that you must have in order to go around with your car, to go on the streets if the police stop
So
you.
how long does all that take?
Something around 30 days.
Nossa! I mean, wow! That's crazy, man. Let me tell you what I did in the United States. I called like three or four different dealerships, dealerships where they sell the new cars. And I said, I want this. I was buying a Honda CR-V, which was not expensive in the United States. But anyway, I told all these different people I want the same car with the different or the same characteristics. And I got the price that I want with this one. I said, okay, I want to go to your dealership and I want to enter and leave in 2 hours. Can you do that for me? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm coming. Let's go. So I went and it happened. I was in and out of there in less than 2 hours because I basically demanded that, okay? Because I don't like to sit in a chair. Talk to the people, process documents. No. I got the approval at a bank to get the money for the car. Now I want to buy the car. Let's go. Okay? So that was so cool.
Actually, the process to leave the dealership with the car is not very is not very long, like I said. The actual time of 30 days that I said is to get the every documentation from the government and everything, to get the car licensed to really go on the streets.
Okay, cool. So, where do you get a loan for a car in Brazil?
Usually banks. So you
Is there
go to
one
the
bank better than the other to buy a car?
bank. It depends on the personal relationship that the person will have with the bank. Depends on your income, if you get better rates for the loan. If you have higher incomes, you can get lower rates. Depends on the amount of money you will need. And everything depends. So there's no a better bank to get the loan. You actually, some dealerships have their own banks, like Honda, for example. They have the Honda Bank. You can get the loan from them, like directly from them.
All
And
right.
that's it.
In reference to the money that you borrow, what is the general interest rate here?
It can be up to 5% a month, the worst one.
5% a month, not per year.
Not per year, a month. It can
Dude,
be,
that's 5 times 12, that's 60%.
yeah, it can be like pretty high. It's very hard for you to find some rates like that, but it might happen. Depends on the situation that you find yourself in. If you don't have like good credit, if you don't have a good relationship with the bank, if you don't have good upfront money, a good amount of upfront money, this rate can be high. But it can be also as low as 0.64%.
Oh, that's very good to hear. Wow.
That's a good one.
Well, do they use a credit report? Do they have a credit reporting agency that the banks or the lending agency is referring to as they look at your ability to pay the loan? Is that what they do here?
Yes, they make a great analysis of everything in your life, your income, your expenses, because the amount of money you will pay a month, the installments, mm-hmm. you cannot compromise more than 30% of your income.
Ah, yes. Okay.
You cannot compromise more than 30. So they will take the amount of money you make. If you make $1,000, they can never be $1,000 a month. They can never be higher than 300 reais mm-hmm. a month. Mm-hmm. Plus, they utilize your other expenses and everything. Mm-hmm. And they also check your credit score, you know, and the amount of money you have up front.
Okay.
So depending on your financial situation, your financial health, you can get more expensive cars, lower rates, and everything.
Okay. To me, it seems like the car prices in Brazil are inflated. They're very, very high. Why are they so high?
Taxes, man. They are super
You're talking about the government.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. The government is giving us, you know, beautiful services for the hospitalization, education, everything else. So, yeah, I understand why it's so high. Okay. Yeah, that's another topic. Another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much the government. Everything that's happening, and not only the taxes itself. The mm-hmm. taxes are pretty high,
okay.
But the situation that's created for the pandemic, for example, it makes for the manufacturer, everything gets mm-hmm. more expensive. Everything gets harder to be like mm-hmm. delivered, developed. So they also have their own price. The own dealership, their own dealership has a higher price, not only because of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem too.
Okay, where do you live, Lee Anderson? Which city?
I'm living currently in Goiânia.
Goiânia. Is it different, like with getting a loan or anything, different between like Goiânia and Sao Paulo, you know, where I live, Osasco? Or is it the same system?
I think it's pretty much the same system.
Mm.
Pretty much the same system. And as I told you, it's very important for you to have a good relationship with the bank. If mm-hmm. you know the manager, for example, if you're a good person with the bank people, something like that, they will get you some conditions that aren't available for everyone.
Mm.
You know, and it's important. It's important, but it's basically the same. What would differ, maybe, is the tax amount, the taxes amount mm-hmm. that you pay in each state.
Okay, so there's the federal tax, and then there's the state tax, and maybe even a metropolitan tax. I don't know if Sao Paulo has another tax put on the car, but it's a possibility, huh?
Yeah, it is a possibility. And I'm pretty sure that every state has their own percentage of taxes to pay for mm-hmm. their cars.
Well, I can tell you that in Sao Paulo, I see a lot of cars with license plates for Belo Horizonte, okay? And I think it's probably because in regards to Sao Paulo, it's one of the closest states to Sao Paulo. And if you buy a car with a license plate from outside of the state, you're not constricted by the rodízio, you know, the limitation of driving on certain days of the week because you're from out of the state. But I think that many people in Sao Paulo in the surrounding area, they buy a car in Minas, whatever, not Belo Horizonte. Yeah, the Belo Horizonte plate. Wait a minute. That's interesting. A Belo Horizonte plate does not mean it's only from Minas, because Minas has many cities, but they buy the car in Belo Horizonte, evidently, because that's what I see on the plates, is Belo Horizonte, and that's not a state, that's the city.
Yeah, yeah, the Belo Horizonte is the capital of Minas Gerais.
Yeah, so it's interesting that that's what I see, is many cars from Belo Horizonte. And I don't know if they have family there and they use that address to buy the car. I don't know, because I know that happens in the United States for another purpose, and that's for education. But when people buy a car in Minister Rice in Belo Horizonte, they're not restricted with the Hojizia that we have here in Sao Paulo. And so that might be a reason as to why they buy those cars or buy their cars at that place, is to have the registration there. And then they can drive during any day of the week with no problem, because it is a little complicated when you have Hojizia and you can't drive. You want to go somewhere, you have to really be careful because you can get a ticket, and the tickets are not cheap. I know, because I've had
Sao Paulo has this kind of situation. I mean, the taxes from Sao Paulo and Minas Gerais are the same, are 4% a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not because of that. I think it's because of Hojizia.
Yeah. Well, Hojizia is a big constrictor, man. When you want to go to the beach, you have to go to the beach during certain hours because you can't go early. You can't, unless you go very early, you know, before Hojizia kicks in. I think it's from 7 until 10 in the morning, and then at night from 5 until 8. So you can't be on the road, on the highways anyway, and anywhere inside the belt. We call beltway. I don't know why. That's what we call that, like a ring. You know, yeah, that has a designated street system that designates where the Hojizia is affecting everybody. And so if you are in that area, you cannot drive your car, period, during the Hojizia time. But anyway, let me go on to another question here. Is in reference to a dealership like Honda. You said Honda has their own financing. So they have their own way of processing your documents and making money on the other side. It may be another agency, or it could be Honda itself, that's doing the processing of the documents for a loan. But that's a good way to make more money for all the dealerships, all the manufacturers of cars, is to have their own banking system. I know that one of our friends, Anderson, and you know him, he worked at a company called Volkswagen that everybody knows. And they had their own financing system for Volkswagen too. But I don't know if it was actually Volkswagen, but come to think of it, I think he did say he worked directly for Volkswagen. It was the financing part of the company. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to get a loan through them. I may not qualify, so I have to go somewhere else to get the loan, you know?
Exactly. The thing about the bank is that it generates, like the bank in general, it generates money out of thin air, which is the taxes. I mean, not the taxes, the rates, the loan rates.
Okay.
So for a dealership to make you a loan, they are generating money when they sell the car,
mm-hmm.
and they get the return, the rates back, mm-hmm. you pay every month. And if you ever stop paying, they will get the car back.
Oh, yeah. What about repossessing a car? Is it very common here in Brazil?
Oh, it's very common. I mean,
the repo man.
It's very common because a lot of people buy cars, and we have something called Finan cars. You mm-hmm. know, people, they get the credit, they get the car out of the dealership, and they basically don't pay the cars at all.
Mm.
Either they have this plan of not paying the car already, or they stop paying due to some financial crisis that mm. they're having. So they stop paying the car. What happens next is the bank will request a repossession.
Mm-hmm.
So they will try to find where the car is and get the car back.
Okay. It's once the same as the United States.
Yeah. Once they do it, they take the car to an auction. So they sell it to someone else on an auction.
And you are still responsible for the money.
Yeah, after they get the car back and they auction that car, they sell the car, the amount of money they make is actually used to pay your debt. If your debt, let's say the debt is $30,000 and they actually get $30,000 for the car, your debt is free. You're free of the debt. But it's not usually like that.
It's not like that most of the time.
And you get $20,000 and you still owe in like $80,000.
Yeah,
like that.
Man. Yeah. Well, that's the name of the game. You have to pay your bills, you know.
Exactly. So, Bruce, one second. Let me close my door here because my mom arrived and she about to make
some okay noise. So in the United States, you have a number of years you can normally get a loan, especially for a new car. What is the maximum amount of time that you can get a loan, as far as you know, in regards to buying a new car, like through a bank or through the dealership? What is the normal maximum time that you can use to buy a car?
The maximum time will be 5 years. 60
Okay. 5 years, huh?
Yeah.
So in the United States, I know they have a 6-year program. And that's become very popular because as the cost of the cars increases with inflation and everything else, you know, it's harder to buy a car. So they've extended it to 6 months, which is 72 months. And that's, you know, pretty common for the expensive cars or trucks. Like the pickup trucks can be very expensive. They're like luxury pickup trucks. Very expensive.
Yeah. So here too, pickup trucks are getting very, very expensive. Hilux is costing something around $200,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, it used to be $90,000 like 10 years ago. Now it's $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a luxury.
So in your opinion, is it better to buy a car with 0 kilometers or to buy a car that is like 1 or 2 years old, and why?
Me personally, I'd rather buy a used car that already got out the dealership.
So with how many years?
Oh, a maximum of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are used to buy a car like 5 years old, something like that. Because once you take it out the dealership, it automatically devalues your asset. Like
the car. But you can smell the new car. It's so nice.
Oh, the smell going to cost you something like from 15 to 20% of the price.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If you're down to pay, like there's no.
But the other thing too is with the new car, you have like 1 year guarantee of anything, you know?
Yes, yes. You have the guarantees of the dealership and everything. But still, I personally rather get a used car always. Because, for example, let's talk about the 1 year guarantee or 2 year guarantee. In order to keep it working, you have to make the like something like 3 months or 10,000 kilometers every time you got to take it back to the dealership so they can make a check, check your car to see if there's any problem. And every time you take it there, it's going to cost you something like 500, 700, 1,000.
I think they call it revision, right?
The revision, exactly. So they have to make a revision every 10,000 kilometers, something like that, depends on the dealership. And every time you go there, you're going to spend money. So pay insurance for the car and like just get a used car or something like that.
Yeah, and insurance here is pretty high too. So they got you every which way, you know, every which way you go, they've got you. Let's see. Are there programs to buy a car with a discount in Brazil?
Sometimes the government can cut some of their taxes, some of them, which would be like 2%, 1% off the car. Sometimes I've seen it happen in 2012, 2010, something like that, but it's very rare. Another way for people to get car with discount is using their businesses. So you buy a car on your business name. So you don't buy it to you personally, you buy it to your business. So they can get some discount too.
Okay.
And a third way would be people with some kind of disability.
I heard something about that. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, if the person have some disability, they will get a lot of discounts on their purchases. I used to have a coach, a basketball coach, and he used to buy cars for 60% of the price.
Wow. So
I remember he bought a Civic, which costed something around 90,000 at the time. and he bought it for 63, something like that.
Wow.
But it's a big discount because he made us, he had a surgery on his knees. It's nothing very dramatic. He used to walk normal, everything. He just had a surgery on his knee, which made him disabled.
Okay. Well, it is what it is. I mean, if somebody has certain surgeries, they have limitations. And so they may need a special type of car. I think many people that have that have to buy automatic cars if they have a problem with their legs, right? Or with anything, like their arms. If they have a problem with their arms, they need automatic because they can't shift, you know, can't hold the two things at one time. They can hold the steering wheel, but they can't shift the car at the same time. So, you know, there's reasons for that. And I think it's a good program that Brazil has to give some kind of discount for people with disabilities. I think that's very good.
Great.
And how many new cars have you bought in your life?
How many new cars I've bought?
In your life.
Brand new cars or
any type? 0 kilometer.
None. Any.
Zero.
I never bought no brand new cars.
Okay. I've bought two. And I really enjoy buying a new car. I like that smell. And I like the peace of mind that I don't need to worry about anything in that car for 1 year. Because I don't, you know, normally travel a lot. But it's 10,000 is the time when you need to do a checkup on the car. 10,000 kilometers. So I don't normally have any problems with the cars. I try to buy a good car to begin with. The one I have now is a Honda Civic, and I like that.
Nice.
And it's a good car, dependable. You know, there are many good cars out there. So I'm not trying to sell any Honda for anybody out here, but I think Honda's a good car. And what is your preference of a car?
Oh, I like fast cars. I like fast cars.
Lamborghini, Maserati.
Yeah, I like to drive fast. I had like, for me, I bought two cars. Mm-hmm. I had a Renault. What's the name of the car? It was a Renault.
What's Renault?
The dealership Reno. Let me see how I pronounce that right. 1 second.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying it's a brand of car or a what?
It's a brand of car. Yeah.
A Rio.
What?
You said Reno or Rio?
Reno.
Oh, Renault. Renault.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm limited. If you don't pronounce it like I know it's pronounced, you know, in my area of the United States, it's like, huh? What?
What?
So yeah. Renault, you had Renault. What car did you have?
I forgot the model name. I
will remember. But it was fast?
No, it wasn't. It was, I used to drive on it like, 120 kilometers per hour when I could, 130, but never more than that. You couldn't reach. Now, and like on the same year, I bought myself a Corolla.
Mm-hmm. Toyota.
Which is a great car. I used to drive 200 kilometers per hour.
I've never been that fast. I don't know if my Honda Civic would go that fast. I don't know. I've never tried it.
I'm pretty sure it goes that fast.
Okay, but that's too fast for me, man. I've seen motorcycles, you know, somebody with a head cam, I guess, head camera, and they're looking at their speedometer as they're going down the street. I think it was like 230, 240 on the highway. That's not cool.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, and I remember one time going to another city in the countryside from Sao Paulo, and I remember these motorcycles going zoom, zoom. It's like, man, I know they're going over 200 kilometers an hour, but guess what? At the pedaggio, you know, the toll booth, there was the police, and they had everybody. They said they had everybody pulled over because they had a camera. Oh, my goodness. They didn't know. So they all got big tickets, I'm sure, or they had their motorcycles confiscated.
Yeah. let me tell you a story about my Corolla.
Okay.
I was coming to Goiânia, right? And I was driving something around 170 to 200 kilometers per hour.
I know. You have good highways there.
Yeah, we have, but this particularly wasn't a good highway. The front tire popped.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I totaled the car.
So you lost control of the car?
Yeah, I lost control because I was too fast. The front tire, like, it got flat. It popped, so I just lost control of the car, passed out, and everything.
Wow.
On the same day, I have two fines, two speeding tickets.
From that time that you were driving so fast, huh?
Yeah, I drove like 100 kilometers and had two speeding tickets.
Wow.
So imagine that. I used to drive very fast, like, all the time.
Yeah, that's not good to get a speeding ticket. They're expensive.
Yeah, I paid in one. I paid $500 and the other was $900.
Wow, dude. You're rich. If you can pay those types of tickets, you are rich, man.
I'm reckless. I'm not rich.
Reckless, not rich. Okay. Okay. And how many cars do you have now?
I crashed the Corolla, right? I sold the Renault, so I have like five.
But how many cars do you have in your possession now?
None.
No Zero.
Cars in my possession. Zero.
Well, you need to slow down, buddy.
I have wow. zero cars in my possession.
Well, I tell you, I did sell one of my cars about 2 months ago. I started thinking, and my wife and I just started thinking, it's like, we don't need two cars. We're not doing anything. We're not going anywhere. Right. You know, because I used to, you know, I'm an English teacher, so I used to go to businesses and people's homes and teach the class at those places. And now I don't do that. Everything's online. So I didn't need the second car. So I sold it. And now we put that money in the bank to buy the next car, which we're hoping to buy another car this year, a 2021 car. And probably a Honda again. And so looking forward to that. But anyway, I don't want to have a big loan. We've got the money from the second car. We sold that. We can get money from this other car and sell that, because I don't think it's a good idea to trade in a car, to buy a new car. They don't give you a good trade-in, you know, they don't give you a good price normally.
When you take your old car to the dealership to sell.
Yeah. They look at you like, okay, we'll take care of that for you. Here's how much we're going to give you. It's like, what? The blue, you know, in the United States, we have a book called the Blue Book. It's called Kelly's Blue Book. And it's like FIPI here, where you can look on the line and find out what the car is valued at. The FIPI is a government agency, but the Blue Book in the United States, it's a private organization, but it's, you know, like, it's kind of like what everybody uses as a resource to understand the value of your car. It's not a government agency, but it's a trusted group that does evaluations of cars from month to month, year to year, and all the different models it makes. And so you can look at that book. You can look at FIPI here in Brazil to understand your value of your car. And then you go to the dealership, you know, and you were expecting them to, with the FIPI, it says 50,000. Oh yeah, we can give you 35,000 for that. It's like, yeah. Really? I don't think so, buddy. You must be crazy. I'm not on drugs.
I'm not smoking crack.
But I mean, that's the way they do it, because they take that car, they have to turn around, they have to invest in it to make it look good, or they can, you know, sell it at the auction. That's another possibility. But I think, no, most of the time they have cars that are in good condition and they sell the cars as semi-new. That's the word that they use in the United States too. Okay, a semi-new or something like that.
I believe they only auction cars that were repossessed.
Okay.
These cars that they buy from other people, they really sell them as a semi-new. The thing about selling the car to the dealership is because they will consider every time that you are in a hurry to sell it.
Yes.
If you weren't,
and you don't want to mess with it, you know, you don't want to have to worry about it.
Yeah, they'd be like, nah, on the dealership mind, they'd be like, he shouldn't sell the car for us because we will pay less.
Yeah.
So if they sell it, I will offer a low price if they actually keep it. And a lot of people do it, which is totally wrong. You have to be calm.
Yeah. I tried selling it on Web Motors and on Mercado Livre. And I'll sell this Honda sometime soon. And I'll try to get as much as I can out of it, of course. But cars are not selling much right now. Everybody needs a car. They don't, you know, that's the problem. Not everybody needs a car right now because a lot of things are online.
Yeah, but independent of the conditions, the Honda Civic is very quick to sell. It's one of the best cars.
That's what our friend said. You know, the one that sold the other car, he actually lost. He paid us for the car. He used it for a little bit, and then he lost about 200 TI. So he didn't lose a lot, but he lost a little bit. And he said the Honda will sell quick. So that's good. That's good. But still, you know, need to buy another car. And I'm probably going to buy a new car if possible. I just have to work that out. It's a lot of financial difficulties at this time. So I'm not a rich guy at all. I'm a teacher. And teachers are not rich.
The millionaires. You guys never know. You're not rich. You're super rich.
Yeah. So, well, that was really good having this conversation, Leanderson. I appreciate it very much. It's helping the other people in the audience to understand things about finance, economics, and to listen to things in English that are usable, you know, something that's practical for them to consider, to think about, and to perhaps implement something into their lives as to what we discuss. So I greatly appreciate you being part of this program of bringing these shows, and I look forward to next week when we'll have another one.
Yeah, I always enjoy being here, Bruce. It's great talking to you every week, and next week we'll do the same. So
sounds good. So you guys in Brazil and around the world, whoever's listening, have a good weekend because it's already Saturday. Have a nice weekend, and we'll look to see you next weekend. Talk to you then, okay?
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye-bye.